week about pursuing money and stuff. Week number three, we're going to tackle the elusive pursuit of perfection. Do we have any perfectionists here like me? I believe God is going to speak to us perfectionists that week about the pursuit of perfection. And then week four, we're going to round out this series talking about the need for approval. So many of us, rather than living for or from or out of the approval of God, we're obsessing with what others think about us. And that often presses us to compromise. We compromise who we are. We compromise what we're called to be. So we're going to that gives you some direction on where we're going these next several weeks. Today, let us focus on the pursuit of fame. Chasing fame involves the desire to be known, to be admired, to be liked and followed. So many of us, we are obsessed with wanting to be accepted and respected and famous. I know some of you, you're thinking, well, that's not me. That may be somebody else here today, but that's not me. I'm not pursuing fame. But friend, you might be surprised that in many ways, we all are pursuing fame. Now, you may not be in a full-blown pursuit of fame, but my guess is that many of us have micro cravings for fame. In other words, deep down, we want to be known, we want to be loved and accepted. You may find this showing up in some very small or different ways in your life. For example, when you overcommit, when you end up saying yes to some things that you wish you had said no to, and you end up overcommitting, could it be that part of the reason that you overcommit is because you have this deep down need to be liked by others, and so you overextend? Or maybe for you, when you do something, you just want to make sure that you get credit for it. You did the job, and you want everyone to know that you did it. It may be something at work. It may be something at church or in your neighborhood. I gave, and I want others to know that I gave. I sacrificed. I want others to know what I gave up. If I'm showing up, if I'm doing something special, I just want everyone to know that I did it. I want credit for what I did. These are all micro cravings for fame. For others this morning, it may be that you are overly sensitive to criticism. You don't receive well any kind of rejection. 100 people could come to you and say, look, you knocked it out of the park. You did a great job. One person comes up and says, you know, it's okay. It's all right. I've seen other people do better. And that one person giving you somewhat of a not very good review, and you just fall apart. One person makes a semi-rough comment on Facebook, and you're ready to unfriend them and write them off. Could it be that you have a micro craving for fame? You want everyone to like you, to accept you. I think without question, social media, it is the breeding ground for this hunger for fame. We post a picture. Did anyone like my picture? I mean, I worked so hard just to get the caption just right, and no one has liked my post yet. I know some people who do this. They will post a photo, and they will delete it if in 5 minutes somebody doesn't come online and like their photo. They're afraid something's wrong with it. Too many of us, we're living for likes, and we're longing for love, micro cravings of fame. Now, for those of you today who say, I'm above all of that, you're not hungry to be liked or known or admired, you're not concerned about being respected or followed or famous, then I want to help you understand that chances are your children might struggle with this, or someone in your circle, someone that you know might struggle. In fact, I did some research. You know, I haven't worked in 10 weeks. I've been on vacation during the pandemic, and so I've had a lot of time to do research. In the last week, I did some of that, and here's what I found out about kids between the ages of 10 and 12. Did you know that 10 to 12-year-olds, their number one goal, their top priority in life, let me tell you what it's not. It's not financial security. They're not concerned about that. Their number one goal is not to be rich. 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, they're not pursuing success. They're not concerned about achievement. Common goal for 10, 11, and 12-year-olds is to be famous. It's true. The top priority for 10 to 12-year-olds is to be broadly known, to be accepted, respected, to be famous. But that's not all. I also learned that for adults between the ages of 22 and 37, studies show 50% of those who are in that age bracket, 22 to 37, 50% think that your life is so great that it ought to be made into a movie. Now that makes me laugh. I'm telling you, I love you, but I'm not coming to your movie. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. But think about that. 50% of 22 to 37-year-olds believe their life is so amazing that it should be made into a movie. I did some additional research. You'd be amazed how much research you can do when you got nothing else going on. And so I looked for research on what a person might do to become a household name. You're not going to believe this. 1 in 12 people would disown their family in order to become a household name. Now, can you believe that? 1 in 12 people said, I will disown my family if it means becoming famous. 1 out of every 9 would give up the possibility of marriage if it meant they would become broadly known. 1 in 6 said they would give up having children, and that number floats up depending on whose children you've been around. But 1 in 6 said, I would give up having children if it meant that my name would be well known and famous. The bottom line is that so many people would give up so much of what we all consider to be important just to be famous. I want to be clear about something. There's nothing wrong with being famous. There's nothing about being famous that is sinful in and of itself. In fact, if you excel in whatever you do, if you are one of the best of the best, if you are one of the brightest of the bright, if you are incredibly talented, if you rise to the top of your field, fame is almost inevitable. There's nothing about being famous that is sinful. We could even make an argument and say, you know, at times it appears that God actually made someone famous. And we have that in Scripture. In the Old Testament, David is a great example. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. When David was obedient to God, God made him famous. Listen to what the Scripture says. David did just as God had commanded him. And they struck down the army of the Philistines from Gibeon even as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of David on all the nations. And so we have it right here in Scripture. As David obeyed God's command, David's name, David's fame spread throughout the land. And the Lord made the nations fear him. So God made David famous. He made David famous. God also made Solomon famous. You remember Solomon, God came to Solomon and said, I'll give you any wish. And what did Solomon wish for? What did he ask for? You remember? He asked for wisdom. And God said, because you didn't choose riches and because you didn't choose fame, I'm going to give you wisdom and then I'm going to give you riches and fame also. And so we find that God gave fame to Solomon. So there must not be anything wrong with being famous. But here's what I want you to know. It's not wrong to be famous, but a pursuit of fame can be dangerous to your faith. Pursuing fame is the wrong way for you to go. You say, well, what's the problem? The pursuit of fame can be dangerous to your faith because what happens is that the trajectory takes your heart away from God. It takes your focus away from others, and it centers your attention on yourself. And church, it's difficult for you to be focused on others when so many others are focused on you. And so this pursuit of fame, it moves the trajectory of your heart away from the things of God and away from others, and it centers your focus inward upon yourself. There's been quite an evolution on this subject of fame over the last few decades. Think about the nature, the accessibility of fame. It is far different today than it ever has been. If you go back a few decades, in order to be famous, you had to do something significant. You had to do something that was memorable. In the past, in order to be famous, you had to be the best in your field. You had to be a great athlete or maybe a movie star, a politician. Don't get me started on politicians this morning. But years ago, you had to be an inventor. You had to travel to the moon. I mean, you had to do something significant in order to be famous. But due to the rise of YouTube and TikTok and social media, it doesn't take much to be famous nowadays. In fact, in our culture, you can be famous by creating interesting content, You can be famous by creating silly content. You can sit down in your backyard in a lawn chair, pick up a guitar, play something, record it, post it on social media, and it can go viral. And almost instantly, you can become famous. You can become famous by being great. You can become famous by being horrible nowadays. You can be like the lady who has become famous on social media for putting her face in bread. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You have to check it out on YouTube. This is a real deal. You're going to have to check out the face-smashing, bread-smashing lady. But let me just warn you, it is truly bizarre. But this lady, she is massively famous for smashing her face in bread. I watched some of her videos, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to cheer or throw up. I wasn't sure what the outcome should be, maybe both. But church, in our culture, you can be famous for all kinds of things. Some of you probably already knew this. I don't know how I didn't. But I found out this week, one of our staff members is TikTok famous. I knew that Shane posted videos a lot, but I didn't know that he was famous on TikTok. Let me share with you one of his videos. This is his Olympic shower
video. Welcome back to the I Turn the Shower Temp the Wrong Way Olympics. Here's Finn Gorgensen with his first attempt. Looks like he's going with a cold technique. Let's see what he does. There it is, the crate against the wall. Great form. Looks like a perfect 10 to me.
That's amazing, right? How many want to see that again? Just Shane. Shane's the only one with his hand up. Now let me tell you, that video has been viewed 446,000 times. It has 53,000 likes. Shane has 35,600 followers on TikTok. We've got greatness sitting among us this morning, and we just didn't know it. We didn't know it. But think about it. Years ago, you had to do something significant to be famous. Now, just climb in the shower with your clothes on, get Meredith to come over and video it for you, and you become TikTok famous, just like that. But I think that's why so many people, they hope that their post is going to go viral. They want everybody to see it. They want everyone to like it. If somehow I can get verified, then I can post my own stuff. I can get paid for having a following. It's this desire to be known. Micro cravings for fame. Students, if I just had a little more popularity in my class, if they knew me for my sport, if they knew me for my craft, if they knew me for what I did, if they knew me for being funny or whatever it is, if they just liked me, if they approved of me, that's what's missing in my life. Many people are chasing fame because they think that somehow it's going to bring happiness into their life. Again, please hear me. You can leverage attention. You can build a credible and legitimate following. You can make a real living and a real difference. But I urge you to be careful about the pursuit of fame, because it draws your heart away from God and away from others as our focus moves towards self. Fame, it can be incredibly hard to deal with, even in small doses. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe the Bible, you might believe Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey said this. He said, "I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they dreamed of so they can see that fame is not the answer." So church, if fame is not the way that we need to go, if fame is the wrong way to go, if it's not the answer, then what is the answer? I think in all of Scripture, the person who had the opportunity for fame and he got it right was JTB, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. Anybody know what John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common? Anybody know? They have the same middle name. You would think with all this time on my hands, I'd come up with better jokes, but dad jokes are a gift. That's all you get. But John the Baptist, he was sort of this crazy prophet. You've read about him in Scripture. He dressed in animal skins. He ate wild locusts. And honey, my guess is he probably smashed his face in bread at some point or another. But John the Baptist, he created this following. He developed a crowd. And basically, John's message was this. He says, "I am here to prepare the way for the one. You need to repent of your sins because there is one coming after me, and his name is Jesus." Look with me in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 28. It says, "You yourselves are my witnesses that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. And then in verse 30, he added, Christ must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Now, evidently, JTB, he was so charismatic. He was such an interesting guy that the crowd started following him. And John the Baptist was growing in popularity. Maybe he started having micro doses of fame. The people began asking, John, are you the one? John, the things that you say are amazing. Are you the one? And if John had been raised in our culture, he likely would have thought, you know, I'm still pointing people to Jesus, but I'm going to leverage the attention that I'm receiving, and I'm going to build my own platform. I'm going to create my own brand. I'm going to establish something that I can stand upon. And I'm going to leverage this situation to create a stream of income. I'm at least going to use it to leverage some attention because I can point people to Jesus and let them come to me. But instead, when they asked John the Baptist, are you the one? John said, no, I am absolutely not the one. John says, don't confuse what I'm here to do. I am here to point you to the one who is Jesus. John said, I am unworthy to even untie the sandals of Jesus Christ. Church, you and I need to have the same posture as John the Baptist. JTB said of Jesus, he said, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. John said, I want you to see more and more of him and less of me. Why? Because John would say, it's not been about me. It's not about me. It's never about my name becoming great. John would say, it's always been about the name of Jesus and his name becoming great. You remember that Lucifer in the book of Isaiah, Lucifer said the five I wills. He says, I will be like God. I will ascend to the Most High. He says, I want to be known. I want to be famous. I want it all to be about me. And John was just the opposite. John the Baptist said, no, my only mission in life is that you see less of me and you see more of the one who came to save us. Less of me, more of him. So how do we do that? In a culture that glorifies fame, how do we make sure that Christ increases and that we decrease? In a world where 10, 11, and 12-year-olds are growing up saying, I want to be famous, how do we do that? How do we function? How do we represent Jesus in this broken and crazy world? Well, church, I think ultimately it boils down to motive. And so I want to ask you two very pointed questions, and I hope that you'll have the courage to answer these questions truthfully. When you're honest about these questions, it will reveal a great deal about your motives. So the first question is this. The question is, who are you representing? Who are you representing? When you show up, when you post something on social media, when you talk with others at work or at school or wherever you go, who are you representing? Is it you that you're representing? Or is it Christ that you're representing? I know most of us, we would quickly answer, well, I'm representing Jesus. But are we really? Because I can tell you the truth is that more than I care to admit, I am representing me. I'm representing me. What do you think about me? What do you think of me? So the question is, who are you representing? We know the answer should be Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he pointed out that we should represent the one who died for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul said this. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So who are you representing? If you are a follower of Christ, then you are called to be an ambassador for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat sent from one nation to another nation to represent the home territory. That's an ambassador. So if you are an ambassador for Christ, what are you? You are the highest ranking diplomat sent from heaven to earth to represent our God. And friend, that's who you are. Who are you representing? As an ambassador for Christ, do you realize that when you walk into the room, that light walks into the room? As an ambassador for Christ, do you realize that when you walk into the room, that hope walks into the room with you? Do you realize that? Friend, you are representing Christ by what you say and by how you act, how you show love to those around you. You're representing Christ by how you dress and by how you post on social media. The Scripture commands us, whatever you do, it should bring glory to God. So who are you representing? And don't just tell me Jesus. I want you to be honest, because I know that so often I'm not representing Him. Too many times I'm representing me. So I pray that you would allow the Spirit of God just to do a cleansing work in your heart today. Don't you want your life to be less of you and more of Him? I hope you'll just allow that thought to invade your heart. Who are you representing? And then the second question, question number two, is this: whose approval matters most? Whose approval matters most? Again, the answer should be Jesus, right? It should be His opinion that matters most. But so often we're actually playing to the crowd. We're laughing at jokes that we shouldn't laugh at. We're trying so hard just to fit in. We're not shining the light when we should shine the light, because we're afraid that if we shine the light, someone might dislike us. Friend, what happens is suddenly, instead of living from the approval of God, we find ourselves living for the approval of the crowd. You say, well, why do we do that? Why is it that so many of us today, we crave being known and noticed and admired and followed? Why is it that we are overly concerned about becoming famous? Well, psychologists tell us that the desire for fame, it is often rooted in injury and neglect. In other words, if you find yourself with this craving to be noticed, chances are that at some point in your life, you felt insignificant. Chances are pretty high that at some point you struggled to live up to the expectations maybe of your parents. You find your parents difficult to please. Maybe you were rejected by friends, or you felt overlooked. And the result is that there is this longing in your soul to be known. A longing in your soul to be noticed. Micro cravings for fame. Well, Paul cautioned the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. He says this: but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but pleasing God who examines our hearts. What is the gospel? The gospel message is that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but will have eternal life. Friend, as messengers approved by God because of Christ, you and I are entrusted with the good news. And so our purpose, check this out, our purpose is to please God, not people. Our priority, it is Christ alone. It all goes back to motive. It is Christ alone who examines the motives of your heart and the motives of mine. So who are you representing? And whose approval matters most? We ought to answer that question saying, less of me and more of Him. We should answer and say, less attention to me, more glory to Him. We ought to be saying less about my name, more about His name. Less about me, more about Him. Friend, when everything in our culture says be famous, be known, be liked, we need to recognize that this desire for fame, it is rooted in injury, it is rooted in sin, and it is a false promise that does not deliver. But I've got good news for you this morning. We are called to something higher. We are called to something better. Friend, you're not called to be famous. What are you called to? You're called to be faithful. That's the calling. You and I, we are called to be faithful to the one who is faithful to us. And so the Bible teaches that when you live a life worthy of the one who gave it all for you, you will stand before Him in heaven one day. And friend, Jesus will not say to you, well done, my good and famous YouTube star. That's not what He's going to say. He's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Some of you, I think, need to hear this. When you serve every single week, and not everyone knows your name, let me remind you of this. Jesus knows your name. And friend, He honors your service. When you give and you give and no one knows the sacrifice that you make, friend, Christ knows the sacrifice you make. And friend, He will honor. He will one day say to you, "You gave a cup of cold water in my name. You visited the sick in my name. You fed the hungry in my name." And He will tell us that what you did to the least of these, even when no one else applauded what you did, He would make it clear to us that it was applauded in heaven because He noticed. He noticed. He saw it. Your sacrifices mattered. Your faithfulness makes a difference. God says when you tithe and you wonder if it makes a difference, it's honoring God and it does make a difference. When you pray and no one knows that there are holes in your jeans, not because you're cool, but you've got holes in your knees because you've spent time in prayer, kneeling before the Father, making your petition to Him. Friend, God hears the cries of your heart. As you turn the other cheek, when you would rather strike back to someone who has hurt you in some way, friend, you are being faithful to the one who is faithful to you. And He notices your faithfulness. I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to remind you that the world may not know my name, but I know a name that is above every name. And His name is Jesus. And He is the Prince of Peace. And He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He is my Savior. And friend, my Savior knows my name because my name is written in His book. Friend, life is not about what you call me, but life is about what Christ calls me. And He calls me loved. He calls me chosen. He calls me redeemed. He calls me more than a conqueror. He calls me blessed. And when I realize and I embrace who He calls me and how He sees me, I am no longer living for the applause of the crowd, but I am living from and for and out of the approval of God. And church, I can assure you that His opinion is the only one that really matters. I want to serve Him. And I pray that others will see less of me and more of Him. Less of us and more of Him. In the Old Testament, remember what David did. David did what God commanded him to do, and God made David famous. And David wrote something in Psalm 115, verse 1. Listen to what David wrote. He said, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory because of Your loving kindness, because of Your truth." Now, church, your assignment this week is to commit to memory Psalm 115, verse 1. What a great message for us about the emptiness of pursuing fame. A great verse to memorize. David said, "Not to us, Lord, never to us. Not to us, Lord, but to Your name, the name that is above every name. The name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that You are Lord. To the name of Jesus be honor and glory forever and ever." Church, pursuing fame, it is like traveling the wrong way down life's highway. Instead of being consumed with our name being made great, our passion ought to be centered on making His name great. Friend, I pray that where God finds micro cravings for fame within us, I pray that He would do heart surgery so that the cry of your heart and the cry of my heart would be less of me and more of Him. Whose approval really matters? It's God. It's God. Who are we representing? Again, it's God. And I pray that when our fleshly nature rises up, and when we want life to be about us, I pray that God would cause us just to pause and to say, in everything we do, everywhere we go, everything we say, everything we post on social media, may it be less of us and more of Him. Some of you recognize that something is missing in your life. I mean, you've been searching and you've been longing your entire life for something that will satisfy. You've thought, maybe if I do this, maybe if I become a better person, maybe if I stop doing that, maybe if I made more money or got a new job, if I had a nicer car, a better house, you're searching. And the reason that you're searching is because there is a very real void in your life. And I need to tell you that the void that you're experiencing is spiritual. Listen, no material thing from this earth can fill your spiritual need. So what's the problem? The problem is that we've all sinned. The problem is that we've all fallen short of God's standard, and there is a longing in our hearts for eternity. We know that there's got to be something more. And often we try to work our way to God, but in doing so, we're leaving Jesus out of the picture. So who's Jesus? Well, the Bible says he is the sinless Son of God. He is the Lamb of God who is perfect in every way. Friend, Jesus died on the cross in our place that we might experience his forgiveness. He died for your sin and for mine. And the Bible teaches that God raised his Son Jesus from the dead so that anyone, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how dark your life feels, it doesn't matter how empty your life is, the scripture says that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, their sins will be forgiven. Their emptiness will be filled. Friend, when you turn from your sin and you surrender your life to Christ, you are made new. Some of you have been searching for a long time. But friend, I've got good news. If you will turn your life over to Jesus today, your search will finally be over. So I urge you, turn from your sins. Put your trust in Jesus. Would you call upon his name for salvation? As you call upon him, he will hear your prayer. He will forgive your sins. And he will give your life meaning and purpose. And so right where you are this morning, you confess your faith in Christ. You just say to him, yes, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Today I choose to surrender my life to you, Jesus. Save me. Forgive me. Fill me with your spirit so that I can serve you and follow you and live for you. And friend, when you pray to receive Christ, the Bible teaches that you should go public. You should let others know of your life-changing decision. In just a moment, we're going to stand to sing. And as soon as we start singing, you meet me down front and you let me know that you have surrendered your life to Jesus. If you're watching online, you reach out to us and you let us know about your new relationship with Christ. Friend, if you feel God is leading you to connect with the Friendship family, we would love for you to be a part of what God is doing here. If God's leading you to join our family, then you come as we sing together. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your word. We believe that your word is truth without any mixture of error. And Father, we pray that you have spoken to us today, that we've heard from you. Lord, we recognize the emptiness of chasing after fame. You've got something so much better for us. Lord, I thank you that this void that we feel, the void that we experience, it's a spiritual void. And it can only be filled by your Son, Jesus. So, Father, bring life to those who are struggling today. Bring life to those who are empty on the inside. Father, as they turn from sin and they put their trust in your Son Jesus, may they experience life eternal. God, move in this place. Lead us today. Guide us. Cause us to make decisions that will bring honor and glory to you. God, it's never been about our name. It's always been about your name being made great. Help us live that way. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would.